make it this morning. I did not get a chance to say good morning to you, so I'll say it now. Good morning. It's an honor to be here. I'm grateful to be with you all here at the Sanford Church of Christ. If you notice, I have my phone out. I always time myself because I am a talker. If you don't believe me, then just ask Devon. And I can keep you all here to 6 o'clock, and you would think that you were having an evening service if I did not do so. So I am honored to be here with you this day. And I do want to say this day has been a tremendous blessing to me. It's an honor to be here. The fellowship that I've had with you all, you've made me feel so welcome. The singing has been just phenomenal. And you know, God knows best. It was God that said, from the fruit of our lips, we praise him. A musical instrument just won't do as good as what you've heard today. And you should be honored for being among the few in our society today that is willing to accept the pattern as it is. It is so easy, brethren, to bend. It is so easy to become relaxed. It is so easy to bring in new things that we may think in and of ourselves would attract people. The problem with that is this. As we bring in one thing, then that's going to get old. Then we got to bring in something else to replace what we just brought in. And the next thing you know, it's a circus. We have everything in here except what God said. So grateful for you and your diligence in abiding by God's word. We're going to pick up where we left off at in Bible study this morning. The title of the lesson is The Purpose for Assembling. We talked about some of this morning. I would do a brief recap. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, notice what the Bible says. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Brothers and sisters, there is something vitally important about the assembly, to the point that God tells us, do not forsake. And then as we look at the verse, as we noticed this morning, it does not say not forsaking the assembly, but the assembling, which means that however often we assemble, the church assembles, the saints assembles, I need to be there. I need to make sure that I'm there, because there's something vitally important about being there. We went over to John 14. Turn to John chapter 4. I'm sorry, John chapter 4. And we noticed some things that Jesus said here, because we're considering the purpose for assembling. So to assemble, we need to understand why we are to assemble. In John 4 and verse number 23, Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, here's that my favorite four-letter word that most people do not like, must. God says, Jesus says, in order to worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. The word spirit comes from a Greek word, pneuma, and it means the proper mindset, the right disposition, our attitude. God wants us to get this in our minds, that our attitude needs to be right first. We don't have a problem in the Lord's church with the acts of worship. We're going to get into that today also. We don't have a problem with singing without instrumental music. We don't have a problem with the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. However, the first word that Jesus mentioned before he mentioned truth was spirit. Our mindset, brothers and sisters, need to be right. If our mindset is not in a proper perspective, we are not worshiping God. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, they that worship him must worship him with the proper mindset and spirit and in truth. And that in truth carries the idea according to truth. And Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when we want to know how we're supposed to worship, how we're supposed to worship God today, we do not need to go back to Deuteronomy and find an example. No, we're not living under the Old Testament today. What do? We go to the New Testament. Jesus Christ brought about the New Testament, God's new will and testament. So if anyone on the planet today wants to know what they need to do to worship God, to be pleasing in the sight of God today, they do not need to waste time on nails and hammers to try to build an ark. It's not for us. They also do not need to try to build a tabernacle. That's not for us either. However, they need to go to the New Testament and they need to observe the pattern that was left for us by the apostles, prophets, and early Christians. And thus, if we do what they did, we will be pleasing to God. Why? Because what they did is recorded for us in the truth. Thy word is true. Five acts of worship: preaching, praying, singing, the Lord's Supper, and giving. Brothers and sisters, in each act of worship, our mind and truth needs to be involved. 1 Corinthians 1:21, we spoke on today, which basically carries the idea that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Have you ever wondered why preaching? Do you not know that God could have chose any other area or avenue to save mankind? God, if he wanted to, could have chosen to still speak to humans today like he spoke in the Old Testament. Can you imagine people outside talking to burning bushes? Can you imagine individuals speaking to a whirlwind? Well, that's how God used to talk to people. He doesn't talk that way today. God speaks to us today through his Son. And Jesus speaks to us today through the word. And thus, God says that it pleased him by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. God put preaching in the plan. 1 Corinthians 1:21 is in the truth. It's in the New Testament. Jesus said that we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And 1 Corinthians 1:21 is according to truth, but many times we forget about our mindset. What we talked about this morning is that while I'm preaching, or anyone for that matter, anyone doing Bible class or preaching, our minds need to be engaged. Am I listening to the message? Or am I thinking about that steak that I left to throw out after worship? Am I thinking about the verse that he just stated, or am I thinking about why I wore this tie with this suit? See, it's very easy for our minds to wander. And when I was a child, I used to think that, well, I can't wait till I get older. That way I can stay focused, because it was so hard as a child, because you have so many things, activities and games and so on and so forth. But now that I've gotten a little older, it's just as hard for older people to stay focused as it is for children sometimes. Why? Because we live busy lives. And it's just so much to think about. After all, I have to pay house payment next week, and I have to go to the grocery store after worship. And thus, all these things are in my mind, and yet I am to fight to keep my mind focused. And for some individuals, that's a hard fight. That's a hard fight. But regardless, remember, they that worship him, we're here to worship God. That's the number one reason why we're here, brothers and sisters. If you're here for any other reason as number one, you may want to rearrange your schedule. Worshiping God is number one, because if we don't get that right, everything else is going to fall away. We must have the proper mindset. Preaching. What should I be preaching? I'm not up here preaching my feelings. I'm not preaching get wealth, name it, claim it. You know, we got a lot of folks today on TV that all they want to talk about is how you can continue to obtain material possessions. Oh, God wants you to have that. Oh, don't claim that sickness. It's not meant for you. All that stuff sounds good. But Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not your feelings, not what people want to hear, not what they want to buy. No, because Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. What are these preachers doing? They're trying to get people to lay up treasures on earth. We have a duty. Preachers are to preach the truth, to preach the gospel. So worship is a two-way street. For me, worshiping, me preaching is worship for me too, because I have to preach truth. But for you listening, part of your worship is, I need to pay attention to what's being preached. If either of us fail to do both, we're not worshiping. Not only preaching, we looked at praying. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. In Acts 2 and verse 42, you all know what's going on here. This is the birth of the church. Day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, 42. Those that gladly received Peter's word and were baptized, they were added to the church. And verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship and in breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper, and in prayer. Brothers and sisters, prayer is vital to the life of a Christian. I want you to ask yourself, you don't have to respond, I want you to ask yourself, do a mental assessment of yourself, and you ask yourself, how often do I pray? How often do I pray? Do I only pray before I go to sleep? Do I only pray once a day? There was a study that was given about 2 years ago, and it said that the average person prays 1 hour a week. Can you imagine trying to make it through life without prayer? Can you imagine why is it that our tool, our way to God, our connection, our lifeline, why is it that it's very seldom used? Why do we find ourselves trying to, as they say, fix it on our own and then call God when we can't do it? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? When we know that we're the ones that messed it up in the first place. Prayer is vital to our lives, brothers and sisters. First of all, prayer shows us that we need help. You know, we're humans, and, you know, we want to feel as if we can do everything. You know, I think sometimes we watch these shows like G.I. Joe and Hulk Hogan and all these different shows on TV, Ninja Turtles and all this stuff, and we think that we're just invincible. We can do anything. No, we can't. No, we can't. Folks, we need help. If we didn't need help, why are we here today? And if we didn't need help, why did Jesus come? Folks, we're sick. As a matter of fact, the church is a hospital for the soul. What does that mean? You may not look sick. I may not look sick. Don't let the glasses and the bald head fool you. I'm sick too. I need help too. That's the reason I'm here. I need Christ also. What are we sick with? Sin. Sin, brothers and sisters. Prayer we need. But remember, prayer is an act of worship. So prayer is according to truth, Acts 2:42. But where is our mindset when the prayer is being done? The beautiful prayer that my brother did before we did the Lord's Supper table, before we did the Lord's Supper. Where was your mind at when he was praying? Was you thinking about something else? Or was you in tune to his words? fabulous prayer. Very seldom do you hear individuals pray for police officers and firefighters and those of that sort. These individuals put their lives on the line daily. For what reason? For our comfort. How often do we pray for them? That was a wonderful prayer. But I wouldn't have heard that if I'd have been thinking about something else. And if I'd have been thinking about something other than him praying and being in tune with his prayer, I would have been just in the building without worshiping. People, it involves both our mindset and truth to worship who we're here to worship. We must never forget our number one purpose for being here is to worship God. And we worship God not how we feel, not how we think we should work. No, we worship God based on how God tells us to worship him. And Jesus says spirit and truth. So we looked at prayer. We looked at praying. Ephesians 5:19. Please turn over there for me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Singing is an act of worship, which is what you all have done so beautifully today. You sound beautiful. I wish I could record you all and play you on the way back to Maxton. Beautiful. Singing is an act of worship. Ephesians 5:19. Watch this. Speaking. Not whistling. Not duck calling. Not humming. Speaking. To yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Not R&B. Not rap. Not rock and roll, not hip hop, spiritual. Why? Because we're speaking to ourselves. For what reason? Look at this. Singing, not playing, not clapping, not snapping our fingers, not stomping, but singing. And making melody on the piano, no. On an organ, no. On the drums, no. Harmonica, no. The verse says, making melody in your heart to the Lord. What is our heart? That's our mind. Jesus said, why think ye evil in your heart? So we don't think here. I had a guy tell me, I love you with all my heart. I said, not with that one. Not with that heart. That heart is only for blood, folks. It pumps blood and oxygen throughout your body. When that heart stops, you stop. But the spiritual heart is our mind. This is very important. Very important to teach this early. Because if most of us would have known at a young age that this was our spiritual heart, we would have been a little bit more careful of some of the songs and some of the things that we allowed to get in here. Why? Because some of us are trying to still fix ourselves from some of the stuff we didn't put in our heart. This is our spiritual heart here. This is our mind. And this is where the melody needs to be made. So singing is an act of worship. Singing, we're reading, is according to truth, New Testament, Ephesians 5 and verse 19. So in order to worship God properly during this act of worship, where should my mind be when we're singing? Should I be sitting down saying, I wonder why he's singing so many stanzas? People do that, you know. Why is he singing all five? Why not sing the first and the last? Why did he pick this song? I don't like that song. I want him to sing what I like. We do that. Guess what? We're not worshiping either. Why? Because the song leader has a responsibility too. And what will be wise for the song leader to do is take a book home. Take a book home. And what happens is worship is coming up. So throughout the week, you can pray about certain songs. You can go ahead and decide before time what songs you're going to sing. And to those that are in the pews, whatever song the song leader decides to sing, that's what you sing. We're not here to take requests. There's nothing wrong with a request. But the song leader has a responsibility to lead the congregation in songs. Now, if the song leader wants to get your opinion on the song, you may like, he can do that. However, there should not be none of this stuff in the back. 212. No, we're not here for that. The song leader has a responsibility to lead the congregation in singing. And whatever song he sings, however many stanzas he chooses, that's what we're going to do. And we ought not have the mindset that I don't want to sing all five stanzas. This is not the song I like. His voice doesn't sound good to me. Who cares what sounds good to you? None of us sound good if you ask me, in reference to how we try to compare ourselves. Sometimes we think that we are Oprah Winfrey and some of these other folks, not Oprah Winfrey, Luther Vandross and some of these other folks that sing. I can't sing. But guess what? God didn't say sing to me if you think you can sing. No, he said sing. And so instead of wondering how good you think you sound, how about just opening your mouth and singing? Because what happens is your voice blends with his voice, and his voice blends with her voice, and then her voice blends with her voice. And then what happens, all the voices blend together and they go up to the God who created our voices. Can you imagine, brethren, God created our mouth, our vocal cords, and our voices, and we have the audacity to sit during singing and not sing? Barely sing. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that. Most of us sing louder than that in the shower. We're at worship. And when we recognize how long-suffering and how merciful and how loving God has been to us, and though we don't deserve it, we should sing until these fans stop. That's how excited we should be on singing. And what else does singing do? Singing, during singing, we speak to each other. Let me give you an example. I brought this up here for a reason. The song we sung, When We All Get to Heaven. Listen to the verse. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. Now, when we're singing that song, we're speaking those words to one another. Well, what's the purpose of that? Because I need to be reminded that heaven is the goal. See, sometimes we think the goal is a bank account, or maybe it's that job, or that new car. No, that's not the goal. The goal is heaven, and we need to be reminded that we're not here to stay. We need to be reminded that this world is not our home. We need to be reminded that also heaven is for the faithful. So when I'm singing this song, if I know within myself that I'm not being faithful, then what am I doing with this song? Am I lying to myself? If I know that I come to worship when I want to, I won't give, I barely sing, I won't speak to anyone, I don't show any love, I don't study my Bible, and do you expect me to sing this song with enthusiasm? It's impossible. But to those who are striving, to those who are seeking to be faithful to God, this song is more than words, and they need to hear it. Why? It's only a few. It's only a few, brethren. So when we sing, our minds need to be in tune, preaching, praying, singing the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. I won't read that for time's sake. You can take a look at that. It's talking about the Lord's Supper here. And Paul is recapping that he received this from Christ. The Lord's Supper is according to truth. But our minds need to be in tune also. You know, when these guys get up here and they say, this is the Lord's Supper that's been set aside, this is the day that we're supposed to do it, Acts 20. And verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. The first century Christians partook of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, every first day of the week. So that's according to truth. But where does my mind need to be during the Lord's Supper? For the bread, for example, they do the bread first. We're going to pray over the bread. This bread represents the body of our Lord and Savior. So when they pass that bread, the last thing I need to do is break a piece of that bread and start playing with something over here. Or break a piece of that bread and hold a side conversation over here. Why? Because my mind needs to be in tune on something. From the moment they give me that bread until they come back up here and say, now we're going to pray for the cup. My mind needs to be in tune with that bread. What about that bread? That bread represents Christ's body. What do you mean? I need to be thinking about how Christ suffered, not for my neighbor, but for me. And how he was beaten for me. And what he endured for me. It's easy to point, but this is personal. So when I break my piece of bread and I pass that tray, what I do sometimes, it's just something that I actually learned from a guy in Isaiah chapter 53. If by chance you have a problem or you struggle sometimes with keeping your mind intact during the Lord's Supper, Isaiah chapter 53 is a great chapter to read. Because what are you doing? Look at what it says. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, Christ, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. These verses help keep your mind on what Christ went through for you. So our mind need to be on his body and how he suffered, the pain he endured for me, until they come back to the front and say, now we're going to pray for the cup. Now my mind shifts from the body to the blood that was shed. What did Christ do with his blood? Why is the blood important? What has the blood done for me? What is the value of the blood? Our minds need to be on that. Christ's blood is the reason that we have forgiveness of sins. Christ's blood is the reason that we partake of this great supper every first day of the week. Christ's blood is the reason that you have different nationalities of people from different backgrounds and different areas, likes and dislikes, different heights and weights, pluses and minuses, all one in Christ. All because of his blood. So our minds need to be focused on that. And if it's not, brethren, we're not worshiping. Fifth and final, giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That's 1 Corinthians 16:2. So giving is an act of worship. So when the guys say, okay, now we're going to pray for the collection, then now my mind is no longer on the blood. Why? Because we're going to another act of worship. So now I need to reconstruct my mind to start thinking about, I'm blessed to have a job. Who allowed me to have this job? Who gave me the energy to work this job? I'm grateful for the money I get from this job. I'm thankful for how long I've been at this job. I'm thankful that I can feed my family with this job. I'm thankful that I can get gas in my car from this job. See, our minds is on the giving. And because I'm so thankful for who allowed me to have what I have, I'm going to think about how much I owe him. when the giving comes. And I'm going to be thinking about that until those guys come back to the front and they end that part of service. And then my mind shifts back to the singing. Every act of worship involves the right mindset according to the truth. Anything apart from that, brethren, we're not worshiping. Number one reason for being here is to worship God. The number two reason is to encourage one another. You see, when we worship God the way we're supposed to, when our mindset is engaged the way it's supposed to, when we're doing things according to the truth the way we're supposed to, we're going to be encouraging each other. Why? Because sometimes we just don't feel good. Sometimes many of us have things going on. So you can't look at a person and assume that everything is okay. You know, we're real good at that. We come in here, we smile, we put on our best suit. Men may put a little bit of cologne on every now and again. And we look okay. I mean, nobody's crying. You know, everybody's just, hey, good to see you. But on the inside, someone could have just lost a loved one. Someone could have been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Someone could have had some marital problems the night before. Someone could have a child that's wayward. You don't know what a person's going through on the inside. But God knows. And when we're worshiping the way we're supposed to, when we're singing the way we're supposed to, guess what the words in the song are doing to the person beside you that's going through something? It's bringing them out of it. Encouragement. They see your energy. They don't feel good, but guess what? Your energy is in encouraging them. And vice versa. Hebrews 10. I'm coming to a close here. Hebrews 10. The scripture that was read in your hearing. In Hebrews 10, notice what it says here. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why are we not to forsake? The verse before it tells us everything we need to know. Look at verse 24. Let us consider one another. Do you not know that part of our duty, apart from, now we understand number one reason for being here is to worship God. Secondly, is to encourage one another. And it's our duty, brothers and sisters, to consider one another. Did you know that? That means that my duty is not only, my duty is not to just consider this couple only. Every Sunday, the only people I talk to is this couple. That's not my duty. Why? Because there are other brothers and sisters that I have in the building. So it's not my duty to only be around this family. Every time we gather, these are the only folks that I deal with. No. Why? Because you all are my brothers and sisters. And I have a duty to encourage, to consider you. What does it mean to consider? To think strongly about. You know, many times we go through stuff. We need stuff. Sometimes it's just someone to talk to. Somebody may have a little financial difficulty. Somebody may be struggling with a loss of a job. Maybe need some food. So to think on you, to consider you, means to think on you with the intent to take action. Now that just broadens the horizon of what God expects from his children. Does God expect me to hear this young lady over here talking about how she just lost her job and they're struggling to make ends meet? I just got a bonus at work. And I say, well, hey, just pray about it. It'll be okay. And walk off. No. Why? Because this is my sister and that's my brother in Christ. And I overheard a need. I'm able to help. And I'm told to consider. So if I'm told to consider, that means that it's not just hearing. It's hearing with the intent to take action. What can I help you with? I tell you what. This is what I can give you. I don't have a lot, but I'll tell you what. I'll take y'all to the store, get you. That's what we're supposed to do. To each other. Do we do that? Do we do that? Now, we're God's children. And if there's ever a place that love needs to be seen, it needs to be right in here. Right in here. Consider one another. Now notice what the verse goes on to say. Let us consider one another
to provoke. So I'm not just considering you just to be considering you. This is not just some type of thing where I hear they have a need and I run over here and tell this family, you know, they don't have any food. That's not the job. It's not a gossip thing here. It's not for me to take news around. No. To consider means I'm to take action. But then the Bible goes on to say, consider one another to provoke. This the reason I'm considering you. I have a duty to provoke you. What do you mean provoke? To stir you up. No, no, I have a duty to stir you up. You have a duty to stir me up. What do you mean stir me up? Wake you up sometime. You know, sometimes we fall asleep. We're alive, but we sleep. We don't know what we should be doing. We barely studying. We don't teach nobody the gospel. We sleep. And we need to be stirred up. Wake up. Do you know your purpose? Do you know why we're here? We're not in here to look good, folks. One day, we're going to be rolled up right here. We need to be reminded that day is coming for all of us. So I need to be stirred up sometimes to be reminded, you know what? I do need to be studying. Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate it. I do need to teach others the gospel. Right. Appreciate that. I need it. And God expects us to do this to each other in the assembly. I'm to consider you to provoke you, to stir you up. Stir you up into what? Look at the verse. Love and good works. Now, I can't love you if I don't love God. Sometimes we think we can love each other and we don't even show God we love him. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? If you love me, Jesus, keep my commandments. So if I'm to provoke you unto love, my first responsibility to you is to encourage you, to stir you up to obey God. Hey, we missed you last week at the assembly. Are you okay? Yeah, I just kind of tired. You know, had a long day on Saturday. Well, look, man, you know, we definitely miss you. You know, we're not supposed to forsake anything I can do to help you. Just want to encourage you. I missed you. I need to see you. That's provoking. Why? Because you cannot miss the assembly and please God. Because God says don't miss. How you treating your wife? Well, you know, I tell you, man, she get on my nerves sometimes. Well, look, brother, I tell you, it's a blessing to have a wife. And, you know, man, you got to look at this scripture right here. God said you got to love your wife, brother. We all have moments, man, but you got to love your wife, man. You got to show her that you love her. Sometimes, brethren, we need that encouragement, too. Wives, I'm not submitting to him. Well, look, sister, I understand that, but you got to understand it's a blessing to have a husband. He's a good man. He's in the church trying to do what's right. You know, God says we got to submit. Provoking unto love. God first, then our fellow man. And then it says good works. What's a good work? Anything to advance the kingdom is a good work, brethren. Wiping the pews, picking up trash, cutting the grass, ushering at the door. It don't matter what the work is, it's for the kingdom. Putting tracks in a little thing up there beside the wall, handing tracks out at work. That's a good work. And we are to provoke, to encourage each other to do good works. Brethren, if we spend as much time doing this, it's just one verse. This one verse. If we spent our time striving to adhere to this, we won't have any problem with gossip, tattletelling, being nosy, snooping in other people's business, looking at everybody else, because we all got work to do. This is for all of us. This is for all of us. Every Christian has a commandment to consider one another, to provoke one another to love and to good works. Why? Because we all need encouragement. Number one reason for being here, to worship God. Number two reason is to encourage one another. And third and finally, in just one point, when we worship God the way we're supposed to, spirit and in truth, and we encourage one another by considering one another and provoking one another into love and good works. Thirdly, the worshiper can't help but become stronger. That's how it works. We worship God first. We consider and provoke each other. And in the process of doing those things, we in and of ourselves become stronger and stronger and stronger in the faith. We become stronger in the faith. But it has to be in that process.
I hope and pray this lesson has been beneficial to you. Worship is very vital. There are many people in this in the city of Sanford this day that thought that what they did this morning was worship. But you know what Jesus said? In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. These people are worshiping, but they're worshiping according to the commandments of men. It's not what Jesus said. And Jesus said it's in vain. What does vain mean? Useless. They're wasting their time and money. Passing the plate six times is wasting money. It's wasting money. Thank God for the church. Thank God for you brethren here. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for Christ. If it wasn't for Christ, none of this would be possible. Maybe there's someone here who has not obeyed the gospel. I want you to understand there's room at the cross for you. Jesus said, if any man wills to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus Christ has left the gospel for us to believe. We must be willing to repent of our sins, confess Christ as Lord and the Son of God, and be willing to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Then and only then will you be saved. Christ will add you to the church, and if you remain faithful unto death, heaven will be your home. Nobody is saved without being baptized. There's too many Bible verses that speaks on the importance of baptism. Baptism is what washes your sins away. I hear people all the time, I was saved when I believed. Well, at what point were your sins washed away? When I believed. That's not the Bible. That's not the Bible. We need to do exactly what Christ says without adding or taking from. If you have obeyed the gospel, maybe you've been straying. Maybe you've been coming to worship but not worshiping. Maybe you've been thinking about other things during worship. You can repent of that. Ask the prayers of the saints and make things right with God while there's still chance. If anyone needs to respond, please do so while we together stand and sing. Calls I will answer somewhere.